Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are now 18 days away from saving our great nation, ladies and gentlemen, and we are so delighted that you have chosen to hang out with us noon to 3 Eastern. We are your election headquarters and bringing you stories from all over America as we watch some of these crucial races that are really mandatory. We've got to win these races if we're going to be able to retake the House and the Senate. And a lot of local races that are just as important, and we're covering it all here on the Todd Starnes radio program. And we're only able to do that because of our great listeners. And I just, every day, we are so grateful for your support, for the patronage that you give to this station, for being somewhat polite to Grace Baker when you call. She really appreciates that. So look, we got a lot going on, but I'm going to start today with this crazy story out of New York City. So the New York City has been in a state of emergency for the past, I don't know, week or so. Eric Adams, the mayor, who's turned out to be a bigger loser than Comrade de Blasio, is freaking out because a lot of the border governors, and we're talking about Greg Abbott, we're talking about Doug Ducey, talking about Governor Ron DeSantis, have been sending busloads of illegals to the Big Apple. And, of course, now all of these liberal cities, these so-called sanctuary cities, are completely freaking out. So New York City, they've been trying to stuff the illegals into the homeless shelters, but the homeless shelters are overrun with people who are actually homeless. And so they've decided to use all of this tax money. And we're talking, it's probably going to exceed $1 million to erect this massive high-tech, high-profile tent city that could accommodate upwards of 1,000 people. I mean, it's like a massive tent city on a beautiful area called Randall's Island. And the illegals are getting, I mean, they're rolling out the red carpet for the illegals. They're getting incredible food, gourmet meals. They're getting Xboxes. They're getting big screen TVs. And people are starting to freak out about this. They're like, wait a second. What's going on here? Fox News describing the conditions inside the illegal alien tent city. Cut one.
If you're a single adult man, you're going to come here to this facility starting tomorrow.
When migrants first walk in after intake, they will see a recreational room set up with rows of couches, TVs, Xboxes, and board games. There will also be a phone bank so migrants can connect with family in order to find more permanent housing.
We can do that in 24 hours, maybe even less. Many times, it's going to take longer than that. It could take days.
Next, there is a cafeteria that will provide migrants with 3 meals a day, and snacks, coffee, and tea will be available 24/7.
Those meals are all culturally appropriate. It is South American fare. The menu rotates on a regular basis.
There you go. So they're getting culturally appropriate food. That's how it was described in the New York Post. Culturally appropriate food. They're getting 3 hot meals a day. They're getting health care, food. They're getting a cot to sleep in, a very nice bed. They're also getting access to Xbox, ping pong tables, foosball. Yes, I said it, foosball, ladies and gentlemen. Foosball. And they've got the big screen. They have a little, like, miniature living room set up with actual couches and Lazy Boy recliners, so they're able to sit there and play the video games and watch Netflix. And that's not all. the illegals are also getting around-the-clock bus transportation, and they're getting around-the-clock 24/7 security. Compliments of the American taxpayer. Ladies and gentlemen, the illegal alien invaders who now reside in the beautiful tent city in New York City are officially living better than many law-abiding, hard-working American taxpayers. Now, New York City says, well, you know, we got to take care of the illegals. This is what we got to do. If I were living in New York City right now, I would be enraged. And they're, very simply put, people in New York are living in fear right now. Our managing editor, Caleb Park, was just back in New York to visit the old stomping grounds, and said people are just afraid to go into the subway now. It was not like that before the pandemic. It was the subway, one of the safest in the world. But people are literally afraid to go down into the subways. They're afraid that they're going to be attacked, and these random attacks are just off the charts. Just unbelievable what's happening there. The poor city's been turned into some sort of a third world dystopian hellhole where you've got these mindless, wackadoodle zombie-like people wandering around, just willy-nilly attacking people, leaving their dirty needles all over the place. There have been videos, and we haven't even posted these. We post a lot of stuff on ToddStearns.com, but I just can't bring myself to post some of the videos of the people, literally some of them not even wearing pants, squatting in the middle of the street. We're talking major streets in New York City and doing their business. Nobody wants to see that. But this is the reality of what happens when you allow Democrats to control your city. And we have seen this over and over and over and over and over again, and the people there just don't get it. They're morons. What can I tell you? They're just morons. Then they elect these district attorneys that do not want to prosecute crime. You go around and you have a lot of minorities attacking people in New York City, and they're not being arrested. They're given a slap on the wrist, and then they're walking out the door with the baseball bat still in their hand. So don't be surprised here in New York City, and we're going to be talking with our good buddy Joe Borelli, who's on the New York City Council, in just a few moments. Don't be surprised if more of these tent cities pop up around your neighborhood. And I remember this a long time ago, back when there was a border surge in the final years of the Obama administration, and you had all these children. If you remember back to this time when they were literally dumping thousands of children on the border. Now, you know, we're Americans. We're not going to leave these children to go hungry. We're going to take care of the children. And the illegals, they know this. You know, they're not stupid, the illegals. They're criminals, but they're not stupid. And so all of a sudden, they had to turn these military bases into these basically giant daycare centers, child care centers, orphanages. And the children were getting free food, the best clothes. They were walking around with high-dollar shoes. And, of course, we're not going to—and the point of this is we're never going to deny care or food to a child. That's not who we are. We're Americans. We're better than everybody else. We're not gonna do that kind of stuff. It really does make you think, though, about the Mexican government that would allow children to suffer like that. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, they're getting all this stuff, and their education, health care, the best of the best. I was down there covering the story, and someone took me. They said we just want to show this to you. All right. So they weren't allowing any press, but I had inside sources. I had nurses that were working inside the facility. They were just churning out all of this intel because Obama would not allow any American journalist into the facilities. So anyway, one of the other sources I had said, come on, get in. And we got into his pickup truck. And we're driving down, and they won't let you onto the military base property. But just right outside of that facility, there was a lot of poverty. There were some trailer parks, old homes that had just about ready to fall down. The paint had been stripped off the wood. Porches were rotted out. And there were children literally playing in the dirt, just kids playing in the dirt. You know, they had like their underwear on. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a really sad situation. It was hot, no air conditioning. And it was just misery. It was just misery. And we're driving down these streets, and I asked the guy, why are you showing me all of this? What do you want me to see here? And the guy said, all these people, these are Americans. Those kids that are playing in the dirt, those are American kids. Those kids are going to bed hungry. Those kids don't have access to health care. And then he turned and he looked in the direction of that military camp. And he said, and we just need the people of America to know that while American children go to bed hungry in San Antonio, that there are illegal alien children that are being fed three hot meals a day. They're wearing the newest clothes. They're getting access to health care. And the guy says, can somebody explain this? Can somebody explain why this is okay? Can someone explain to us why American kids have to go without, and yet we're taking care of another country's kids? Can somebody explain that? I didn't have an answer for the guy. I wish I did. But I did tell his story, and I did share with the rest of the nation, hey, here's what's going on down there. And you know what? It's about to go on in New York City as well. Because at this very moment, there are people who are legitimately, they've lost their jobs. They don't have any other place to go. Those people are going to bed hungry while the illegal aliens from Venezuela are going to bed with full bellies as they binge watch Netflix on their taxpayer-funded TVs. Is that fair, ladies and gentlemen? Look, I know and I support the buses and sending the illegals to all these cities. But the point is, sooner or later, we're going to have to ship all of these people back to where they came from. And we got to figure that out lickety-split. All right, got to take a break here. Great show coming for you, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Do you support the busing of the illegals to these cities, or do we just need to stop playing political games and send them back to where they came from? This is the Todd Stern Show. Illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone. It's a war that no one wants to talk about. That's why I urge you to see Border Battle, the new six-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA. It exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. Fentanyl has killed tens of thousands of Americans. It's so dangerous, just 3 grains of fentanyl can kill you. Border Battle reveals how illegal immigration, human trafficking, and America's drug crisis has only been made worse by decades of government neglect. Today's drug cartels are militarized with sophisticated weapons, tanks, and drones that drop explosives on their drug competitors right on our southern border. We've never seen this before in the history of our country. Hear directly from Drug and Border Patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what life is really like on the front lines. Watch Border Battle now. Download the full 6-part documentary series at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. I'd like to think that the Republican governors made their point by sending all the illegals. And if nothing else, we needed to show America that these Democrats are hypocrites. They don't care about these illegals. As a matter of fact, I think there's a pretty good argument to be made that there's racism involved in what the Democrats are trying to do here. But at this point, I mean, do we just disperse all of these people to those big cities? What happens when they escape? What happens when they get out? What do you think we ought to do here, folks? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Dan, Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKP. All right, Dan, what do you do here?
Send them back.
So you say that's it. Just get them out of here.
Just get them out of here. We're spending our tax dollars to support these people. And our citizens that need help because of Joe Biden, it makes no sense at all. I find it amazing that this country would do this sort of thing just for politics.
Dan, just think about this. I mean, at this very moment, somebody in New York City is going without a meal because they don't have any money. I mean, and that's a lot of people because of Biden's economy. And it's all, that's only going to get worse. But those people are going to bed hungry. And meanwhile, you have illegal aliens who are enjoying incredible food, luxury service, courtesy of the American taxpayer.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ungodly. Just send them back. I mean, I don't know where these people come up with the money to support these cartels that are sending them here. I suppose they're in debt to them. They're going to have to satisfy that debt. The cartels, it's not like this this stupid idea of paying back student loans. You know, it just, everything is so screwed up in these cities and the country, in my opinion. We need to straighten this out, and I'm hoping we do. We make a start. It's not going to end the day after Election Day.
No. It's
going
to
take us years.
It is going to take years, Dan. It's going to take a long time. But Election Day is the starting point, and we've got to get that right first, and then we can start turning this around. But the first thing, and the only thing on our agenda, we got to get the Republicans elected. We've got to get a majority in the House and the Senate so we can send a message that we're just not going to tolerate this anymore. Dan, God bless you, and thank you for the call. On that note, word came out yesterday. Fox News got the scoop that the State Department is now funding drag queens south of the border. The report coming in, we're spending $20,000 of our tax money to fund a drag queen theater in Ecuador. So understand what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen. Understand what's going on. The Biden administration is sending your tax dollars, and they're placing your tax dollars into the thongs of Ecuadorian drag queens. Now, my question is, why are we doing this? We shouldn't be funding drag queens, whether they're north of the border, south of the border, or inside the border. If men want to put on pantyhose and grab a feather boa and shake their groove thing, then that's perfectly okay. It's America. You can do that, but don't use my tax money. Don't use my tax money to promote this kind of debauchery. I mean, geez aloo. But it just seems to me, and Grace Baker, I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud here. It just seems to me that of all the people that would be upset about the fact that we are using our money to fund Ecuadorian drag queens, it would be American drag queens. Now, follow the logic here.
Okay.
I mean, they've been hit just as hard with inflation as the rest of us, right?
Sure.
And I got to tell you, it takes a lot of money to buy the gallons of makeup and glitter they need.
The feather boas, too.
To get themselves gussied up.
That's true.
And if I'm an American drag queen, I'm saying, well, wait a second. Why aren't you paying for my feather boa?
This is a good point.
Why aren't you paying for my stiletto heels?
Or their jewels that they put on their face, or their fake lashes, or their wigs.
I'm just saying, I don't think that we should be putting American dollar bills into the thongs of Ecuadorian drag queens.
You had to go there.
Or any other drag queens,
you
for that matter.
You had to go there.
I mean, it's debauchery and it's perversion. By the way, Congressman Ronnie Jackson said, this is great. He's the congressman from Texas, regular guest on this program. He put out a tweet and he said the Biden administration, these people are sick. And he said, we got to vote the degenerates out of office.
There you go.
I love it. Look, I'm with you, Congressman. This is disgusting. We're spending money out the wazoo in this country on everybody except the American people. Stop wasting our tax money. If you got $20,000 to spend on Ecuadorian drag queens, and by golly, you got $20,000 too much money on your hands. Give it back to the American people. Got to take a break here. Whoops. 844-747-8868. That would be a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. 747-8868. Oh, the illegals get free international calls, too. Jeez, Alou.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Another day in America, that means we've sent another $113 million to Ukraine. Tomorrow, we're going to send another $113 million. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every day, we send $113 million. How much shelter would that buy for our homeless vets?
All right, well, that's a great question that Rocco from Georgia raises. Is that we're taking care of everybody else's borders, we're taking care of everybody else's people, but we're not taking care of our own people, we're not taking care of our own borders. By the way, Rocco used our shout-out function on the Todd Starnes Show app, and you can download that back. You can download that app by going to toddstarnes.com and clicking on our live show blog. Also, before we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a reminder, we are in the middle of a radiothon raising money for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. You can do that by going right now to toddstarnes.com. Click on the banner. It's at the top of the page. Everything you donate, 100% tax deductible, and it will be matched thanks to a generous Alliance Defending Freedom donor. Again, toddstarnes.com, and help us out in that very worthwhile and noble effort. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Very honored to have a great guest. He's been a regular on the Todd Starnes radio program, Joe Burrell. He is the minority leader of the New York City Council and represents a great chunk of Staten Island. Joe, good to have you with us today.
Great to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Joe, I want to get your reaction to what's happening with this illegal alien tent city that's going up. I mean, you guys are rolling out the red carpet for the illegals.
Yeah, I mean, to parlay on what you basically just said, I mean, other people who are more needy, perhaps, or more of our responsibility, are looking on the situation given to these folks who come here against the law with a little bit of envy. And I'm talking about our actual generic homeless population here in New York, as well as people who live in public housing. You and I may disagree with the idea of public housing, how much we should have it, but as a city manager of this city, they're actually our tenants. And in many cases, they live in worse condition than the tent cities that we're giving these people from Venezuela and wherever, and some of the hotels that we're leasing for them. So there's some anger there from our own residents as well.
Yeah, I have to imagine there would be. I lived there for 15 years, and folks in New York are not short of opinion, I'll tell you that much. But we're looking at what, big screen TVs, Xbox systems. And what got me was apparently American food's not good enough for the illegals. They have to have their own South American cuisine prepared for them. I say, what's wrong with a good old-fashioned Oscar Mayer bologna sandwich or some peanut butter and jelly?
Absolutely. Let them eat hamburgers. You know, as long as something is meeting a nutritional content that's worthy of human beings, I think that should be fine for people who are here, and we have to pay the full cost. But we're seeing, unfortunately, even the situation in some of the hotels that the city have leased, where they're not in a centrally located area, they're not readily available access to homeless services and soup kitchens and things like that. And we actually have had many instances in my area of these folks going door to door and actually begging for food and begging for clothes. Now I don't want to say they're committing crimes. I don't want to lie. But they are begging for clothes because they have nothing but that which is on their back, and they're begging for food. So I wish, you know, I wish we would take a hard look at what we're doing before we get involved, whether we could even accommodate with services these folks that we're now taking responsibility for.
And again, Joe, New York City, according to the Democrats, they wanted New York City to be a sanctuary for illegals. So you can't necessarily blame the southern border state governors from sending the illegals to a sanctuary city. But the reality, I'm wondering if the Democrats really thought this would never happen, that they wouldn't have the courage to follow through and send all the illegals to New York City.
Look, Governors Abbott, DeSantis, Ducey, et cetera, mission accomplished. You know, this has put the issue on the forefront of every primetime news broadcast, even the ones that don't like it, like CNN and MSNBC. Every newspaper, the New York Times, can't avoid it. So it's certainly mission accomplished from that standpoint. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, you know, we asked for this, essentially. I didn't, but certainly the Democrats who control this city have asked for it. They wanted to take care of a few tricklers who come every year and be able to tout their progressive bona fides on what they do as a sanctuary city. Unfortunately, they didn't see the downstream consequences, which we're now living in, where we are spending $1 billion a year. Now, Eric Adams is 100% right on this number. It's going to end up being about $1 billion if this lasts an entire year that now the taxpayers of New York City are on the hook for.
Joe Borelli is on the New York City Council, represents a large section of Staten Island. Joe, how is the crime situation? Is it getting any better in New York City?
You know, look, the crime situation is being addressed in a strange way. I mean, the police are making more arrests than ever before, but it is 100% this bail reform law, in addition to another law called Raise the Age, and another law that says less is more, that is causing the problem. The police can't arrest their way out of this situation if every criminal is let out the next day. Now, we're seeing, we actually saw a reduction in murders, which I suppose is good, but we're seeing an overwhelming spike in other crimes, especially assaults, especially in robberies, especially in burglaries, especially in crimes where, yes, you could be charged with a felony, but you're not going to face any jail time initially through the bail laws, and you're not going to face any real consequences, too, once you're actually go before a judge and have your case heard. So the situation now is that there are no consequences for people anywhere, and that's why when they go to the Walgreens right across from City Hall, you know, some of the drinks are locked up, the deodorant's locked up, and all that stuff that you hear about on the news is really happening, 10 feet away from City Hall.
Of course, the big governor's race, Kathy Hochul, the incumbent Democrat, and Lee Zeldin, some polling already has Zeldin ahead of Hochul. What are you hearing? What's the vibe there in New York, and do you think Republicans are going to see gains in the Empire State?
Coming out of the woodwork, Democrat friends of mine are coming out of the woodwork to say that they would not, under any circumstances, be voting for Kathy Hochul. They're going to vote for Lee Zeldin. I think the body politic has finally moved so far to the center, past where the Democratic establishment even wants to be, that it is almost an undeniable force. And you mentioned some polling. The thing that's consistent in all the polling, not just for governor, but for the competitive House races as well in the suburbs, all the polling indicates a pretty significant October shift towards the right, towards the red team, towards the Republicans in every single race. That's not an outlier. That's a trend, and I would rather be in the position where people are trending towards the Republican candidates, even though, probably on average we're down still, but we're trending in the right direction.
All right, Joe, we're going to leave it there. Good luck to you guys there in New York City, and I think the average Americans understand and must understand the frustration that a lot of your constituents have with what's happening there. It's a great area, great city. Unfortunately, the Democrats are turning it into a hellhole.
Absolutely right, Todd. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Joe Borelli, everybody, minority leader of the New York City Council. And we check in with him every now and again to see what's happening there in the Big Apple. Let's go to Central Arkansas. Gary on the line. Gary, what say you, sir?
Man, So when can we say we've had enough? I mean, if we want to blow our money, let us blow our money. We don't need them to blow it.
Yeah, well, it's a fair question, Gary. I can tell you this. If I had $20,000, I wouldn't be blowing it on Ecuadorian drag queens. I'm fairly certain of that.
No. Man, that's the last thing. I mean, I don't even want to get on that one. But anyway.
No,
I just,
you don't. So nobody wants to get on that.
I'm just so fed up with the government. You know, they tax everything we do. And then they blow it.
They do, Gary.
I got a lot of things I'd like to do, but I can't. I got to pay them taxes.
Yes, you do. And if you don't, Gary, they come after you. What can you say? All right, Gary, got to run. Appreciate the call, and good luck to you there in Arkansas. By the way, Joe Biden just landed. He's campaigning for John Fetterman in Pennsylvania today. Grace, I want us to keep track of this and keep tabs. I'm curious to know who's going to be the more cognizant today. Is it going to be the stroke patient or the dementia guy? Maybe we could have a running wager. Chick-fil-A sandwich on the line.
I'm not sure I'd take that bet.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, thank you, Grace. All right, 844-747-8868. Another interesting story here I want to share with you. Kevin McCarthy making some headlines in all the wrong way. McCarthy is the House Minority Leader. He did an interview with Punchbowl News, and he's basically downplaying the prospect of impeaching President Biden. So if the Republicans regain control of the House, McCarthy says we're probably not going to impeach Joe Biden. The reporter went on to ask if McCarthy had seen anything at all, that Biden had done that would be worthy of impeachment. And McCarthy said no. At this point, he does not see that the Biden administration has done anything that would rise to a level of impeachment. Do you agree with that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you agree with Kevin McCarthy's assertion that the Republicans will not be impeaching Joe Biden, that the Republicans do not see that Biden has done anything worth impeaching? Let's go to Terry in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Terry wants to weigh in on this story. All right, Terry, what say you?
Todd, that's what I'd called to tell you earlier. Was I had been home for lunch from the farm, and I had that Charlie Kirk show on, and I heard on there that that's what Kevin McCarthy had said. And so I was calling to see if you'd heard that about that. But the thing is, Kevin McCarthy does not represent the Republican Party. He's just a spineless little worm that's been there way too long. And the people of North Carolina, that's all I can speak for. But our congressman, and unfortunately my congressman, supports Kevin McCarthy. But we do not need Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. He's done showed how weak he is too many times.
As far as
what he was saying, you'll have to take my word on this and look it up yourself, because I ain't at home where I can get to my copy of the Constitution. But I'm quite positive Article 4 in the Constitution, and I think it's paragraph 4, but I'm not positive, says that the United States government will support the states against invasion into the states. Now, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, because I'm in the truck. But if that's the case, both him and Harris are in violation of their oath of office, because they've done nothing to support the southern states against an invasion into each one of those states. And theoretically, I think if we had a Speaker of the House that's worth anything, they would impeach both Harris and Biden at the same time for the same crimes.
Yeah, Terry, I completely agree with your take on this, that Biden, at the very least, has violated his oath of office. He has not protected our nation from enemies, foreign or domestic. The vice president, especially, her job assignment from the president of the United States was to get that border in shape. And to this day, she has yet to go to the border. Joe Biden has yet to go to the border, and they have turned a blind eye. That in and of itself should be enough to warrant an impeachment hearing in the House of Representatives. So for Kevin McCarthy to come out and to say something, and this is what gets me. Let's say you're Kevin McCarthy, and we're just going to pretend like we're Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin McCarthy knows in his heart of hearts he's never going to impeach Biden. Why would you, as the leader of the Republicans, come out and say something like that in just days before the election and demoralize Republican voters? Why would you do that? It makes absolutely no sense to me. So from a strategic standpoint, this is a very foolish thing for Kevin McCarthy to come out and actually admit to a reporter.
Well, Todd, Kevin McCarthy's weak, and he's proved himself to be weak many times. The Democrat Party is not going to Kevin McCarthy, my understanding said that, you know, he was going to try to make peace between the parties and the politics. The Democrat Party don't care anything about making peace at all. All Kevin McCarthy's doing is showing his weakness. And as far as the Democrats go, as far as election time goes, I do work with the here in the, my area. I work with the GOP and the Republican Party in registering voters. And I have myself personally turned in numerous registrations of Democrats switching from Democrat to Republican.
Is that right? Well, that's good news. Terry, we got to wrap it there. I'm late for a break here. We appreciate your call. Terry, by the way, on the glimmer of good news, says that he's registering a lot of Democrats back to the Republican Party. Very simple question here as we go to break. Do you think that Kevin McCarthy should be the next Speaker of the House, or should Republicans get somebody who's going to fight? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My Slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want, but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, by the way, have you made the switch to Patriot Mobile yet? America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. These guys are awesome. And, man, are they engaged in the political process. They're defending and supporting conservative candidates for school boards all over America. And they've been incredibly successful, most recently in Florida. But beyond that, they have a great wireless service, and I just love it. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You'll see my face there, and you'll see all sorts of great discounts. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to give you an even bigger discount. But get this, everybody who goes to PatriotMobile.com/Todd, you're going to get free premier activation and a free gift. But you got to use my promo code Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. All right, let's get to the phones real quick. Michael in North Carolina, the talk station. What say you, Michael?
Well, first of all, Todd, I got to say thank you very much for the copy of Our Daily Biscuit. Read it. It's an awesome book. You need to keep writing, bud.
Thank you. I'll take that into consideration.
There you go. And then I've got a thought, too, that I think maybe we as citizens here ought to start considering is that if they're going to give all of these benefits to illegals and those that are here that are not citizens, why don't we renounce our own citizenship? Wouldn't we then be eligible for all of this?
Yeah, it's a fair point. You'd have to come across the border illegally, Michael, but I think that's a great point.
You know, if they're not a citizen, then, you know.
Look, it's so ludicrous. But, Michael, you raise a great point here. And the issue is that the Biden administration, they're putting the needs of the illegals first. They're putting the needs of the Ukrainians first and leaving the American people to suffer. And that's just not right. That is not right. Michael, God bless you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for reading our Daily Biscuit, too. And by the way, you can get yourself a copy at your favorite bookstore. You can also get a signed copy over at the website, ToddStearns.com. Hey, stick around, folks. If you're on hold, don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Did you know 77% of women who wear bladder weakness products experience intimate skin irritation?
As if having incontinence wasn't stressful enough.
But Tena Intimate Pads have been gynecologist tested and do not cause skin irritation.
Gentle on my intimate skin? I need to try Tena Intimate Pads.
Visit TenaSample.com for your free sample. Kind to skin, protects like Tena.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American
That's what it sounded like at an AOC town hall campaign event there in Queens, New York. Those people were chanting, AOC has got to go. AOC has got to go. And somebody there banging their bongos. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Hour two of the big show underway. We are now 18 days away from the midterm elections, and Democrats across the nation are under fire, and AOC's town hall continued to be interrupted over and over and over again. And finally, AOC blew a gasket, cut three.
All right, listen,
okay. Yeah, you're getting a Taco Bell. That's AOC. Can we play that again? That has to be a fake accent.
All right.
Sandy Cortez is what she went by in high school, but I don't know. Maybe she's embracing her inner. Maybe that is her version of a black preacher's voice. Maybe that's what that is. Hey, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us from Newsmax TV, our good friend Lindsay Keith. Lindsay, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, Todd, doing well. How are you?
Doing good now that I don't have to listen to AOC anymore. What a wow.
That was an interesting accent there, for sure. I don't think I've heard that from her before.
Where did that come from? I don't know. Wait, what?
I guess when you're upset, anything can happen, right?
Remember Hillary Clinton, whenever she speaks to the black churches, I'm tired, no way, always. They love to you know, come up with the, you know, I guess culturally appropriate is the correct term.
Maybe makes them feel more at home. I don't know. I never enjoyed that. It's like the old preachers who have that, you know, deep preacher voice, and you're like, are you talking to me? Who are you talking to?
It's a great point.
Talk to me.
Lindsay, a lot going on around the country. Of course, midterm elections and the polls are just, they're brutal right now for the Democrats. What are you guys seeing from your perch there at Newsmax?
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing. You know, we've really, I think, about a month ago, Democrats were kind of getting excited. They thought that, you know, things were waning, that we wouldn't see such a red wave. But now, you know, what this administration has promised, that the economy would be better, they've been able to get gas prices down, they haven't been able to do it. And, you know, there was a poll out just at the beginning of the week that showed that 65% of likely voters blame the economy on Democrats and Biden, which I think, for me, obviously, we know the economy is going to be big, but showing that they finally are realizing it's the policies that are in place, not just COVID, not, you know, Putin's war, that it is the Democratic policies that are having this effect on the economy and spend, spend, spend. And so this, you know, likely we will see a red wave. Definitely there will be, you know, in the House, we're going to have Republicans in control, and likely the Senate now too. And I think anyone that comes out on the left and says, you know, Nancy Pelosi still thinks that she's going to be Speaker of the House and that there won't be a red wave, you know, I think she's just trying to have her great coaching voice there and living in a pipe dream. Because at this point, you know, we are seeing a lot of early voting come out in record numbers. I will say, and Sean and I will talk about this tonight, a lot of times early voting is not Republican. But my hope is that it's a lot of, you know, moderates, a lot of independents who are fed up and ready to get out and vote. People are definitely energized for this election. So we're seeing good things coming for Republicans in these next just 19 days here.
Yeah, it's right around the corner, and we are seeing that same excitement coming from our listeners around the nation, and especially in Oregon, where they could very well have the first Republican governor in some 40 years they've had. So we could see some historic races on Election Day. As you mentioned, as people focus on the economy, I want to play a quick soundbite here. This is NBC News. And they're talking about the Republicans and the economy. Cut number six.
And we've talked so much all year about the economy and inflation being important issues. How about this? This is a New York Times poll, brand new here, asking voters what's the top issue on your mind this election. I haven't seen it this dramatic in a poll. Add the economy and inflation together. That is 44%. We're getting close to half of all respondents in this poll saying that's their top issue. Nothing else even cracks 10% right now. And we've talked about the Republicans, when it comes to the economy and inflation, having a pretty clear advantage in the poll.
So to your point, Lindsay, this really is about the economy. And I think everybody, even the folks over at CNN and MSDNC, understand that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fascinating thing is you see Biden, you know, just yesterday officially releasing 15 million more barrels of oil from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, trying to get gas to go down in these next just few days until the midterms, because he understands this is the only thing he thinks he can control. He's been saying that inflation is transitory practically since he came into the White House. We've seen that has not been true. And so he thinks, and this administration thinks, if they can get gas down, it will help them a little bit, maybe bolster a little bit. Obviously, also asking OPEC Plus not to cut back on production until after the midterm. So we know this is all political. This oil drive is political, because when we did see gas prices go down just a few months ago and there was some ease, it brought inflation down just about, you know, a few percentage points. And so they think if they can do that again, they won't change inflation by then. But if they can change gas prices, I think it will help them. And that's why you see this panic, I would say, almost from the Biden administration. But I mean, there nothing is going to change at this point, because we said early voting is, people are coming out. People are already making up their mind what they're going to do on November 8th.
All right, Lindsay Keith on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Lindsay, what's coming up on the big show today?
Yeah, we have Senator Chuck Grassley is going to be with us. So he has some bombshell evidence from FBI whistleblowers out about the FBI holding information on Hunter Biden. And so he's going to talk to us about that, suggesting criminality. That's been the big question. Obviously, we know Hunter Biden's not a good guy, but has he done something that is incriminating to potentially his father, Joe Biden? And so we're going to be talking to him about that and see what he knows, and if Republicans do get back control of Congress, what they'll be doing to expose some of this as well. So excited to talk to him. And yeah, it's going to be a good show.
All right. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on Newsmax TV, Spicer and Company, Lindsay Keith. Lindsay, always good to have you on the show. Thanks a lot now.
Great to be with you, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, as you know, I've been raising the flag all this month for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. We've been doing that over on our website, toddstearns.com. And again, to be honest with you, we're running behind where we were last year. So we need your help. And even if it's just a few dollars, we can use every single dollar you can spare. ADF is America's largest Christian legal defense organization. And the folks who have already, these are the folks who have already won 14 cases before the Supreme Court. So the money is going to a very worthwhile and powerful cause. ADF has represented our good buddy Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop. The state of Colorado tried to force this man to make a same-sex wedding cake in violation of his religious beliefs. But ADF also is urgently active with its Academic Freedom Project on college campuses, and it also operates a Center for Life focusing on the new realities now that Roe v. Wade's been overturned and sent back to the 50 states. Denise Harley is ADF's director of the Center for Life, and she's excited to help promote alternatives to abortion.
Oh, we have these fantastic resources. We have nonprofits, thousands of them around the nation. And so I'm really excited that we'll have the opportunity, hopefully, to divert funds away from places like Planned Parenthood that are profiting off of the destruction of human life and into more resources for these moms.
Now, Alliance Defending Freedom never charges a dime to the clients, and that's because their legal costs are defrayed by your generous tax-deductible donations. So call our number, 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. Or you can go to toddstearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Your first gift will be matched 100% thanks to a generous friend of ADF. We'll be right back. All right, Grace Baker, I know you're going to love this story. From the world of professional hockey, the NHL is just wrapping up a diversity and inclusion survey. So they did a big investigation. And I don't know why I don't know how much money they spent, but it was too much money. Because the whole point of this was to find out if the NHL is too white. Well, of course it's too white. It's all white. It's like 84%.
This is true.
And mainly the reason why, so this is a big problem. So the NHL is very concerned because there are far too many white people that are working for the NHL and attending NHL matches.
Oh my goodness.
So they're trying to figure out how do we get more fans of color, and that's their terminology, not mine. And they also are trying to figure out how do they hire more non-white people.
I love how these are the problems they're focused on.
84%, they say, of the staff at the NHL headquarters is Lily White.
It is a lot of white
people. Of the Caucasian persuasion. So anyway, this is a big deal. I mean, they're really freaking out over all of this stuff. And they don't know what to do. And they really do. They feel like they, you know, to truly be a great NHL team, they've got to have more people of color on the teams. Now, Grace, it seems to me, and I'm not a big hockey fan.
Me neither.
I will say the Nashville Predators do a heck of a great job.
They do.
It's a great fan experience. But I'm just not a big fan. Seems to me that if you're an NHL owner, you would want the best players on the ice, and you would want somebody who can take a punch.
You want to bring home that, what's it called, the Stanley Cup?
I don't know. Yeah. But you got to, but you know, there's a lot of, there's more fighting than anything else
there
in
is.
Hockey.
It's so like WWE.
So you want somebody that's going to be able to, you know, get their nose broken, but still be able to get out there and do their job.
True. Got to be tough.
All for the sake of diversity. Now, this is where I'm a little confused. Because professional athletics, you know, it really is all about diversity for these people, right? We've got to have, the teams need to reflect America.
This is true.
That's what they say. The teams have to reflect America.
The primary goal here.
And that's why they went after, like, swimming.
Oh, you know,
oh we,
yeah.
Oh, we got to have more. We got way too many white people in the pool. And golf.
Oh, no.
Way too many black caddies. They should be playing. There should be white caddies and black golfers. More black golfers. That's what they're saying. So anyway, I asked you to do me a favor. I asked you to run some numbers.
Yes.
In the break, because I look, if this is where we're going, then I Todd Starnes, the affable host of the Todd Starnes radio program, am more than willing to jump on this bandwagon because I too believe there are just far too many honkies on the ice. So I say let's make it diverse. Whatever percentage, let's just break it down. So whatever percentage your race is in America, that's how many of you get to do a sport or be in the movies.
Oh,
or
goodness.
If we're going to go down that path, because ability doesn't matter anymore. That's what they're telling us here.
Just appearance.
It's all in the appearance. You're right. It's not about anything else. It's all about it's your skin color. So, Grace Baker, here's what I want you to do. Real quick, just Google this. I want to get the racial demographics of America, the United States of America. And I want to know those numbers right away. I can hear your fingers clicking away.
Let's see.
Because,
here.
Ladies and gentlemen, as Grace is looking up this information, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, there are a lot of hypocrites in this country, and especially among the race agitator crowd, because they're very selective. And the righteous indignation among the race agitators is very selective when it comes to diversity and inclusion and equality, right? So if they're going after professional golf, and when you look at professional golf, yeah, okay, it's mostly white. When you look at the NHL, yeah, it's mostly white. But can we look at the National Basketball Association for a moment? Is that a diverse group of people right there? Is that a diverse sport? What about the National Football League? So, Grace, have you found the numbers?
Yeah, I've got some numbers
here. All right, throw out the numbers. How many white people live in America?
So, we're talking percentages here. You got about 63-64% white people.
64%. All
yes.
Right. And then what's next?
Hispanic, you got about 16%.
Oh, 16% Hispanic. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then AOC. You got 12% black.
Okay.
Those are your three. Okay. And then you've got American Indian and Pacific Islanders at 1%.
Oh, okay, 1%. All right, so we're going to make this very simple.
Yeah.
Who do we start firing from the NBA? We got to get rid of most of the NBA. 73% of the NBA is black. That's according to all the players, 73.2%. Who's .2? Is there like a short guy? Is that what the .2 is?
Todd.
All right, 73.2% of the NBA black. So who do we fire? Who do we get rid of?
Man, I don't know.
And by the way, you know what what about John Morant? I mean, do we start local?
I'm a Grizzlies fan, just for context.
Well, I'm about to make breaking news here.
Oh, no.
On the Todd Starnes radio program. Because if, in fact, this is the effort that we got to be more diverse, then Todd Starnes is going to try out for the Memphis Grizzlies. If in fact this is all about diversity, I'm a white guy, and do they even have a white guy on the Memphis Grizzlies team?
I don't know.
But no, they
well,
don't.
Well,
I don't think
you
they
kinda,
do.
They got a couple, but
well,
Todd,
yeah, but they don't play. Oh. I think those are right.
Well,
I'm trying to think
technically, but I was going to say, can I just identify as a man and
So you wanted to play.
And just play.
You can try out.
Okay.
I know. Look, I know white men can't jump. I get that. I get it. But that's not the point here. It's not about ability anymore, right? They don't care.
It's just about appearance.
It's about, that's right. So they got to put some lily white butts on those teams.
The Memphis Grizzlies coach is white.
Oh, that's a problem. Now, that's racist. That is racist right there.
Saying.
And I'm shocked that you even go to the games, Grace Baker, because I don't think white people are allowed to pay money to sit and watch, you know, the black players. I don't think you're allowed to do that. I'm just saying, we are down a slippery slope here. Now, I ascribe to the position of the one Martin Luther King Jr., who once said, we got to start judging people by the content of the character and not the color of their skin.
Amen.
But we don't do that anymore. You've got some race agitators out there, and they're like, we've got to have more black people in hockey. And if you don't, that makes you racist. Well, okay, if you're going to go down that path, 58% of the NFL is black, 73.2% of the NBA black. And that is far out of line with the actual demographic percentages of America. If you want to go down that path, America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back.
folks. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio show. And some breaking news. The CDC now making it official. The Center for Disease Control. They are going to add the China virus vaccine to the child immunization schedule. More than a dozen states follow the CDC vaccination guidelines, and these are going to be required. So if your kid wants to go to public school in some of these states, they're going to have to get the China virus vaccine. Virginia, Massachusetts, Tennessee, New Jersey, Vermont, Ohio. Now, for you people listening to us, wherever you might be, and of course, I broadcast our show from Memphis, Tennessee, you would be wise to contact your local school district and find out if they're going to mandate that children be vaccinated from the China virus. And if that's the case, you may need to consider homeschooling your children. So the question here is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. What would you do? What will you do? If your local school district says your kid cannot come to school unless they get the China virus vaccine, what are you going to do? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Carrie Lake, who is running for governor, probably running one of the best, it's the most well-run campaigns in all of America. Carrie Lake addressed this issue last night in Arizona. Cut four.
So from Tucker Carlson, he says the CDC is about to mandate the vaccine for children to attend school. Is that something you support?
Absolutely not. We will never allow that in Arizona. This is an experimental shot. Our children are not guinea pigs. And we're not going to have incidents of myocarditis in our young, precious children. We will fight that with every fiber in our being. We're not going to have this forced shot by the CDC, which has their tentacles in big pharma, and I'm going to fight that. This is an experimental shot, and we're seeing injuries from this vaccine, and we're not going to force our precious, healthy children to get a shot that is already proving to be not only ineffective, it's also proving to be dangerous.
Good for you, Carrie Lake. Good for you. This woman, by the way, she tells it like it is. You ask a question, she is very straightforward, very direct. There's no wishy-washy when it comes to Carrie Lake. But may I just say that, first of all, the vaccine the kids are going to get, it doesn't work, and it's not, and it has to be, you have to get another booster 8 months later. The thing wears off after 8 months. So this is a perpetual thing they're going to be forcing on the children of America. But beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of young people are just dropping dead, and many of them have been vaccinated. Just the other day in Naperville, Illinois, a teenage boy, was singing in his school chorus, a 17-year-old, Daniel Moshi. He was literally in the middle of a solo when the poor kid just dropped dead in the middle of the concert. No rhyme, no reason. The boy, healthy, no pre-existing conditions. He just dropped dead. And nobody seems to know why. And then there's a crazy story out of Mississippi where a member of the Mississippi State Bulldogs was found dead at a church, right outside of a church. Nobody knows what happened. Perfectly healthy young man. And nobody can explain why this young man just suddenly just dropped dead. It's a terrible thing. And the football program and the school being rather coy about the whole thing, but how many times have we heard stories about young people, and this kid, 19 years old, he was from Tupelo, Mississippi, he was an industrial technology major. And the poor kid just died. And we don't know how. They're not saying anything, so we don't know. We can't speculate. But I will say this. Many others around this country, and especially athletes, for whatever reason, especially athletes, and it seems to me that if you're exerting yourself, that's when the myocarditis, the pericarditis that comes along with the vaccines, that's when it attacks. And we have seen this over and over again where kids just drop. They either pass out,
they have some sort of a heart issue, they have heart attacks, and you wonder if this is only going to get worse if they start mandating this. I mean, there was one high school football team in Texas, and they just had to cancel the entire season because the entire team was not healthy enough to play. I mean, I don't recall any other time in American history where we have seen this kind of behavior. Do you, ladies and gentlemen? So what would you do here? Many moms and dads are about to be faced with a very important decision. Do they send their kids to school by getting the vaccine, or do they have to go homeschool? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go back to Carrie Lake for just a moment. She's been very effective at playing the Democrats' game on the campaign trail. Her opponent, Katie Hobbs, refuses to campaign. That campaign is doomed, so much so that none of the Democrats are willing to campaign alongside Katie Hobbs. Anyway, Carrie Lake called out the Democrats on their election denial claims. Cut number 10.
I'm actually shocked you asked that question.
Well, actually, yes, I don't think you'll tell one once in a while.
I did a little, actually, Anthony, how old are you?
20.
Are you a journalist?
No.
Well, you did better research than half these people. Let's talk about election deniers. Here's 150 examples of Democrats denying election results. Oh, wow, look at this. This is from Joe Biden's press secretary. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. Democrats saying that. Is that an election denier? Oh, look at this. Just heard Republican Ryan Costello said it would be difficult for Stacey Abrams to win because she lost her state bid, but yet she's still claiming she never lost. This is outright. Hillary Clinton, Trump is an illegitimate president. Is she an election denier? This one says, was the 2016 election legitimate? It now definitely is a question worth asking. That's the Los Angeles Times. So it's okay for Democrats to question elections, but it's not okay for Republicans. It's a crock of BS. Every one of you knows it. We have our freedom of speech, and we're not going to relinquish it to a bunch of fake news propagandists. If you want a copy of these, I'm sure that Anthony would help you get a copy and help you learn how to be journalists, but look it up. It's been happening for a long time. Since 2000, people have questioned the legitimacy of our elections, and all we're asking is that in the future, we don't have that have to happen anymore. When I'm governor, we're going to make sure we have honest elections. We want the Democrats, the independents, and the Republicans to all know that their vote counted. We want fair, honest, and transparent elections, and we're going to deliver that for the people. But just remember, guys, this is one page after Hillary Clinton says George W. Bush was selected president, not elected. So let's start, if you're going to start throwing around terms like election denier, let's remember who the other election deniers were, Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats.
All right, there you go. That's the way you do it, ladies and gentlemen. This is this campaign that Carrie Lake is running, it ought to be taught in political science classes, because this is how you run a positive, forward-thinking campaign. She's not into the name-calling. She's not into the dirty politics. She's just spewing facts. And the Democrats and the media can't stand that. They get triggered. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, let me tell you about our good buddy Mike Lindell. Mike's been down in Florida, and he's been helping out a lot of the survivors of the hurricane, Hurricane Ian. He's been literally giving away thousands of MyPillows and the Giza Dream bed sheets and the blankets, doing what he can for the survivors. And we're doing what we can to help Mike do that. MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And we've got some great discounts going on at MyPillow right now. Look, the Giza Dream bed sheets, MyPillows, all sorts of wonderful opportunities for you to pick up some Christmas presents for your loved ones at MyPillow.com. Got to use my promo code STARNS, though. Again, that's MyPillow.com/STARNS. Giza Dream Bed Sheets, $39.98. The MyPillow Percale Sheets, you're going to get those at a great discount as well, $29.98. Check out all the sales and be sure to use my promo code at MyPillow.com/STARNS. All right, so Joe Biden has commenced to mumbling, and we're watching this speech live, and we'll bring you up to speed in case there are any developments there. But I was thinking about what they should bring in this. You know, I mean, they've got Joe Biden campaigning alongside John Fetterman there in Pennsylvania today. Maybe they could call it the Different Strokes Tour or something. I don't know. That might be
Todd, you're just being mean.
I'm not being mean. That's a great TV show from the 1970s, no. Different Strokes.
Okay.
Remember they had little Willis and, what was Arnold? Willis and Arnold. What you talking about? What you talking about? By the way, that would be you know what? We're doing on the spot. I'm calling an audible. We're going to do a trivia question. All right?
I'm ready, Todd.
Okay. Different Strokes. Arnold. What you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? Who played Arnold on Different Strokes? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And we're going to hook you up with a signed copy of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, if you know the answer to the question. That was a weird TV show, by the way. All right. Welcome back, everybody. A crazy story out of California, where a group of workers were dressed up for, I don't know, some sort of a Halloween costume. I don't know. It's very strange. We still haven't gotten the exact reason why. But these are folks in Oakland, California, and they were dressed up as Power Rangers at a newly opened ramen shop. So these were like ramen noodle rangers or something. Anyway, the whole staff suited up as the Power Rangers, and there was a woman outside of the restaurant who got attacked. And this is an amazing story. Apparently, the staffers who were dressed as Power Rangers just all of a sudden stopped what they were doing, and they ran out to help the woman in distress. Go, go, Power Rangers! This is a fascinating story. The woman came running into the restaurant saying she was in danger. Some guy came running behind her, put her in a chokehold. And that's when it was morphin' time. The Power Rangers determined it would be best to hide the woman in the kitchen. I wonder if they, like, formed some sort of a kitchen utensil or something. I don't know. The Yellow Ranger grabbed the attacker by the collar and dragged him out of the restaurant. Uh-oh, that's when the assailant began using racial slurs and then started throwing salt and pepper shakers. Well, there you go. So anyway, the police arrived, and all is well. The lady's okay, and the folks there at the ramen noodle shop are being called heroes. It's a great story. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to High Point, North Carolina. Beautiful town. Bill listening to us on WSJS. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Well, we're just in to the fall furniture market, so we hope everybody comes for that. But my question to you is about Biden, and I can't recall his name, and Philadelphia.
Fetterman. Yeah, Biden and Fetterman.
Dumb and Dumber. I mean.
Dumb and Dumber. That's what we ought to call the campaign. I love that. Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost at a loss. I'm 66 years old, and I'm going like, what have I seen in my lifetime here? You know, from when I was a kid growing up, having the days of old, playing outside, to your mom called you to come home. Now your mom doesn't tell you to go outside anymore. So
it's true, Bill. It's too dangerous.
Oh, the dog. What kind of a dog you got there?
Right. And
Bill hurt me. That dog is Bill. What's going on there? Do you have somebody at the front door?
That's Dudley, my little corgi.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Dudley the corgi. I love it. That sounds like a ferocious lion.
His name is Dudley Do-Right. He looks just like the Mountie. He's black, three color and all. So anyway.
I love it. That's great. That's great. All right, Bill. Well, look, give us a call back. I love this. Dumb and Dumber Tour. Bill, Dudley the Corgi, thank you for listening. That's great. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. We've got some folks that want to jump in on this trivia question. Let's go to Claude in Georgia, WDUN, which is like the trivia capital of the world. Claude, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Todd. I hope you are.
I'm doing well. Claude, we're going to try to win you a prize here. We need to know who played Arnold on Different Strokes.
Gary Coleman.
Yeah, that's right, Claude. You are correct. Gary Coleman, who died, by the way. I didn't realize he had passed away back a long time ago, back in 2010. But Gary Coleman was the highest paid child actor on television. Pretty remarkable thing. You know, he did a lot of stuff with Nancy Reagan. Remember the whole Just Say No to Drugs thing?
Yeah.
And she actually, Nancy Reagan, the first lady of the United States, actually appeared as a guest on Different Strokes. So a little bit of TV history there. Claude, congratulations.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
Well, don't go anywhere. We're going to get you hooked up with a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Grace Baker is going to get all of your intel there. Hey, folks, hour three coming up, more political shenanigans going on, and we are going to be telling you all about that. Also, we continue to raise money, and we need your help. No doubt about it, raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom. Every single penny you donate gets doubled, and it's all tax deductible, and it goes to help Alliance Defending Freedom as they battle the Biden administration on so many different battlegrounds, whether it's religious liberty, whether it is the pro-life effort, and, of course, these attacks on conservative students on our college campuses. They're all over the place, and that's one of the reasons we're so anxious to be able to help them and support their causes. So you can, again, donate by simply going to toddstearns.com, and you click on that Alliance Defending Freedom banner. All right, folks, stick around. Hour three coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 underway. The Different Strokes Tour is happening right now in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Joe Biden, the president, and John Fetterman on the campaign trail together. Just a few moments ago, President Biden said that John Fetterman's wife is going to be a great lady in the Senate. So that may not be too far off from the truth there. This may be a Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden situation where she's actually the one calling all the shots because her husband, and no offense to Mr. Fetterman, I mean, the man is a stroke survivor. He needs to be in rehab. He needs to be resting. He needs to be recovering. And instead, the wife's got him out on the campaign trail because she wants to go to Washington. Much like Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden said and did when it came to her own husband. So now Biden is apparently rambling and yelling at the crowd. He's already dropped at least one come on, man. And just a few moments ago, he said, the day I signed into law a once-in-a-generation investment, over $1 trillion, $200 billion. That's your president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. It's just unbelievable. Before that, though, and this is fascinating, Joe Biden walked over to the scrum of reporters there gathered at the Rose Garden before he went on to the helicopter and Marine One. And someone asked him a question about Roe v. Wade. And there's video of this where the reporter asked the question and Biden comes over and manhandles the reporter, grabs the reporter's microphone. The guy, you know, how long is it going to be before Biden just slugs one of the reporters, just really punches? And I'm not talking about the male reporters. He only manhandles the female reporters. How long do you think it's going to be before Biden, the president of the United States, smacks around a female reporter there at the White House? Anyway, we are monitoring the campaign event there in Pennsylvania, and we'll let you know how that goes. By the way, Biden did interrupted another reporter. Cut number 9, please.
John Fetterman's going to appear with you today in Pennsylvania, but there haven't been that many candidates campaigning with you. Why are
That's not true. There's been 15. Count. Good count.
Okay, and are there going to be even more?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, the guys, you don't want to get them rattled. When you get the dementia patients rattled like that, they become a little unhinged and unpredictable, and they lash out and they can't help themselves. So if Biden, you know, ends up turning around and smacking one of these female reporters or punching one of the girls in the noses, well, look, you know, you can't really blame him because it's not him. It's the old age. That's just, you know, diseased the mind. It's a terrible thing. And we don't wish that upon anyone. We really don't. We really don't. All right. I've got to play this audio from Stacey Abrams. We didn't get to this yesterday. So Stacey Abrams has come up with a great plan for all of you people in Georgia to help inflation because it's hard, right? I mean, you can barely make ends meet. A lot of moms and dads haven't eaten the ramen noodles and the peanut butter and jelly because they can't afford it. And so Stacey Abrams has got a great solution to that dilemma.
You're running for governor of Georgia. I would assume, maybe incorrectly, but while abortion is an issue, it nowhere reaches the level of interest of voters in terms of the cost of gas, food, bread, milk, things like that. What can a governor, what could you do as governor to alleviate the concerns of Georgia voters about those livability, daily, hourly issues that they're confronted with?
But let's be clear. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child. And so it's important for us to have both and conversations. We don't have the luxury of reducing it or separating them out, but we also have to talk about what a governor can do. A governor can address housing prices. A governor can address the cost of education. A governor can put money into the pockets of everyday hardworking Georgians instead of giving tax cuts to the wealthy. That's what I talk about on the trail, and that's what's resonating. But let's not pretend that women, half the population, especially those of childbearing age, they understand that having a child is absolutely an economic issue. It is only politicians who see it as simply another cultural conversation. It is a real biological and economic imperative conversation that women need to have.
All right. So here it is in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. Stacey Abrams, the romance novelist, says that if you really are concerned of being able to make ends meet, if you want to make sure everybody at the supper table gets that extra piece of chicken or the fried pork chop or whatever, you got to go ahead and kill the baby. So she's saying that killing babies is really about the economy and helping inflation. So if you don't have another mouth to feed, well, you're doing pretty good. I mean, by that argument, you could also say that being dead is good for inflation because then you don't have to worry about paying for anything. But Stacey Abrams, a despicable human being,
All of these Democrats folks are radicalized, every single one of them. And that's why none of them, they're all being asked the same questions. All right, would you allow a baby to be aborted on its birth date? Well, it's a woman's right to choose. The woman's decision. It's the woman's decision alone. What about the day before? Well, it's a woman's decision. A woman has a right to choose. So every Democrat running for office, right, every single one of them believes that you should have access to abortion throughout the entire pregnancy. That is a radical and extreme position. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. From North Carolina, a story about transgenderism. I find this story to be fascinating, not just because of how gruesome it is, but because of where it took place. Now, if you look at your map, there's a spot right in the North Georgia mountains where you have Georgia and you have Tennessee and you have North Carolina. And in that area, you have lots of tiny little mountain towns. So there really are not any major metropolitan areas anywhere around that part of western North Carolina. So we're talking about small town America. We're talking about small southern towns. We're talking about towns where people are very patriotic and people go to church and people are devout in their beliefs. Well, there was an incident that occurred between two high school volleyball teams, and these are girls' volleyball teams. There's Hiawassee Dam High School and Macon County High School. Macon County High School has a boy on the team who identifies as a girl, a transgender player. The other day, there was a volleyball match, and something rather horrifying happened, and it was all captured on video. The male volleyball player spiked the ball in the face of a girl on the opposing team. And it was a very violent encounter. There were some estimations that the ball was going about 70 miles an hour when it hit the girl right smack in the face, knocked her out. She suffered serious head and neck injuries. She's going to be okay. But it was a frightening moment for everyone on that team. And I have to imagine the parents of that child. She could have been killed. Well, now Cherokee County, which is where Hiawassee Dam is located, the county, the Cherokee County School Board voted 5-1 to forfeit all matches for the women's volleyball teams at district high schools against Highland School. That's the school that's got the male athlete. The vote came after the transgender player spiked the ball into the girl's head. Quote, the county will not participate in any volleyball games, varsity or junior varsity, against Highlands due to safety concerns. Board member Joe Wood, who voted in favor of the motion, said that he arrived at his decision based on safety, not on the athlete's sex. Transgender athletes competing in women's sports has become a hot-button culture war issue over the past year, ever since Leah Thomas broke nearly every single NCAA swimming record in women's swimming. Several states have passed laws requiring collegiate athletes to compete in sports based on their biological sex, but you people in North Carolina, you don't have one of those laws on the books. And as a result of that, a girl in Hiawassee Dam, North Carolina, nearly got killed, nearly got paralyzed. Is this what the transgender movement is really all about? And I'm telling you, moms and dads out there, would you allow your daughter, and this is a serious question here, would you allow your biological daughter to compete against young men? The Cherokee County Schools, I have to salute their decision here, because they're forfeiting all the games. And the reason why is they believe that safety comes first. But should they really be put in that kind of a situation? Should they be faced with pulling out of a sport they all love simply because the opposing team has male team members? According to Greg Chapman, who is with the Cherokee County Schools, we as a county decided we will not participate in any volleyball games against Highland. And they cite the reason why is this transgender player. Chapman said the board made the decision after Hiawassee Dam High School, this is from the Southern Scoop, after a Hiawassee Dam High School volleyball player sustained head and neck injuries against Highland School. The injury occurred when a Highlands athlete spiked a ball which forcefully struck a Hiawassee Dam athlete in the head. You know, may I just say this? What kind of a young man is this person going to become? What kind of a young man gets his jollies by brutalizing a young female athlete? When asked for clarification of the incident, including the following questions, was it unsportsmanlike from Highlands? Was the Highlands player intentionally attempting to cause injury to the other player? The school district is not providing further comment, and the North Carolina High School Athletic Association is not commenting either. I mean, at what point does somebody stand up in the state of North Carolina and say, can we just have a healthy dose of human sense, a common sense here? Can we have some compassion for these young girls? Is that possible? And why should Cherokee County schools be punished? Why should they be forced to forfeit their games simply to keep their girls safe? What would you do, ladies and gentlemen? What if that was your daughter? What if that was your daughter on the team? And a young man pretending to be a girl smashed a volleyball in her face. What would you do? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. May I tell you about a great offer coming from our friends at Newsmax TV, and we love our friends at Newsmax. Well, they've got a great new book from Dick Morris called The Return. President Trump wrote about The Return on Truth Social, praising Dick Morris. The Return reveals that President Trump is going to run again, and he's going to win. The Return alleges that big media, big tech, and the deep state have formed a secret alliance to stop Trump no matter what. Dick Morris says they're going to fail. Trump calls The Return fantastic. Already Amazon, number one bestseller. You got to get a copy of this book, and it's in bookstores everywhere, but we've got a free offer from Newsmax. You're going to be able to save $28. Just call 1-800-NEWSMAX. That's 1-800-NEWSMAX, or go to thereturn911.com to get your copy. That's thereturn911. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get back to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Bob in Georgia, WDUN. Bob, what's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much. I just hear you spewing lies on the radio, and I'm wondering what puts you up to it.
All right, so what sort of lies am I spewing on the radio, Bob?
Oh, a lot of them, but the main thing is you're telling you're saying that all Democrats want babies to be aborted up till the day they're born. Then afterwards, you said, what do you mean, when they're born, actually execute them?
Yes, Bob, that's correct. Yes, yes, the Democrat Party believes that babies should be allowed to be aborted on their birth date. As they're coming right out of their mommies, they should be allowed. If mommy decides, I don't want this baby, they can kill their baby right then and there.
Well, they drowned it?
Well, I don't know how they kill it. You're a Democrat. You tell me.
I haven't heard that. I'm 72 years old this month, and I've never heard that. And you're telling me that mommies can look at their babies and say, I got to kill them, right?
Yes, that's right, Bob. As a matter of fact, the former governor of Virginia said that on national radio, which is one of the reasons why that man is no longer in office. And the Republicans are now in charge of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
And this is commonplace?
It is. In the Democrat Party, it is. As a matter of fact, The former mayor of Atlanta, who is now a part of the member of the Biden administration, said on national TV just a few days ago that the Biden administration's policy is no restrictions at all on abortion.
Just right offhand, how many would you say? 5, 6, 7, 100,000 babies have been slaughtered after they've been born?
Well, I have no idea, Bob, but I will say this. Even one is one too many. So, Bob, you still haven't answered my question. What have I lied about?
That's it.
What's what?
I'll be 72 years old this morning, month.
Well, happy birthday to you.
I've never heard of anybody killing a baby after it was born.
Well, that you know of. I mean, so why does your party, Bob, don't you think that would be a heinous thing to abort a baby on the day of its birth?
It'd be a heinous thing to abort a puppy on the day of its birth.
Yes, sir. So why is it the Democrat Party can't come out? Why is it that the President of the United States, who is the leader of your party, Bob, why can't he come out and say that he opposes same birth date abortions? That's what they call it, birth date abortions.
I don't know. Maybe he figures it's not true and it's not common.
It doesn't matter. Bob, every single Democrat running for office in this election cycle has been asked that question, and they refuse to condemn it. So, Bob,
condoning it though.
Bob, I gave you a chance. You called in here. You told Grace I was full of crap, and then you said you called me a liar, and I gave you the opportunity. You haven't explained. You never did explain. What was I lying about? Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, folks. We'll be right back. Come on now. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So glad to have you with us today, hour three of the program. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. Our good friends from radio station KYKN in Salem, Oregon, Denise Quinn. Denise, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on again, Todd.
And from WRVA in Richmond, Virginia, our good friend and pal, and great all-around guy, Jeff Katz. Jeff, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you, Todd.
You know, I want to start, before we get into politics, a couple of stories that are hitting close to home for our listeners. First, you might have heard the news. We are now slipping, or thanks to the Biden administration, the State Department now slipping American dollar bills into the thongs of Ecuadorian drag queens. Jeff Katz, we'll start with you.
Gosh, thanks. I don't even know where to begin. There's a great deal of crazy in the swamp at the moment. And on the one hand, I suppose we're laughing at it. The other hand, now I'm thinking, Todd, wait a minute. Those dollar bills belong to me and to you and Denise. And frankly, I don't want those back. I just want them to not put any more there.
Denise, what say you?
Oh, that's an image I'm not going to get out of my head anytime soon. I just, it's just patently unfair. What about our domestic drag queens and strippers? Where who stands up for them?
You see, Denise, I'm with you on this because they're being hit by inflation just as much as the rest of us.
Right.
And, I mean, it takes a good gallon of makeup and the glitter to get all gussied up. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think, where is their outrage?
I love gussied up. That's such a nice old-fashioned, old-timey term. I love that.
So Todd, I am going to write this down. This is the moment in time where Todd Starnes stands up for unemployed American drag queens. I never thought I'd see the day, but here we are.
Jeffrey Katz, we must write this thong. Wrong.
Oh,
thong,
my God.
Yes. So, from thongs to Venezuelans who are now living in a high-dollar tent city, the New York City erecting this massive, and this is going to be $1 million venture. The illegals are getting, they're getting culturally appropriate fare, which means they're getting South American cuisine, big screen TVs, Xboxes, all courtesy of the American taxpayers.
Oh, good grief. Good grief.
Is it possible to book a week there sometime in the spring?
That's actually a great point. I mean, it's a free, and they get 24-hour security. These people are living better than the average New Yorkers are living right now.
And well, isn't that the problem, Todd? Oh, I'm sorry, Denise.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I mean, and they're starting, I mean, they've had enough of this. Wasn't there a recent meeting in Astoria, Queens with AOC, and her constituents are just, they're not happy about this. People see this. They see it. It's like, we see you. We see what you're doing.
Right.
And Jeff Katz,
I think Denise is spot on.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, when you're AOC and you have lost your fellow crazy leftists because you've gone even further over the edge, you should probably start paying attention. This is stuff that's hurting real, honest-to-goodness Americans. And I think, you know, come these midterms, I think we're going to see a lot of people who say, yep, I'm a proud Democrat, but man, I can't afford to put gas in the car, so maybe I got to vote a different way.
And guys, speaking of AOC.
All right, listen, okay.
What is she trying out for the Jets in West Side Story?
That was an audio ice pick.
Oh, my gosh. That's my new ringtone.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
you know, we talk about the this is AOC in Queens. I mean, she was heckled at her own town hall campaign event.
Yeah.
Denise, is it no wonder that Republicans are doing so well? And I mean, even in Oregon, where they had to send Biden out to try and save the Democrat nominee for governor. Did that work?
No, and in fact, I wish I had a sad trombone sound effect to go with that, because it really didn't. But you know what did work? I was at a rally on Monday with Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who was out here stumping for Christine Drazen. That was something to behold. It was a packed house. The energy, I mean, the room was electric. The energy was so high, and everyone was loud and boisterous, and it was a marked difference between the Biden coming out and eating an ice cream cone and mumbling to the cameras. Starkly different.
Yeah. Jeff Katz.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say, I'm glad you're enjoying our governor, because Glenn Youngkin is he's traveling around America. And he was in Arizona yesterday as well with Carrie Lake. He's got events all over the place. And Glenn Youngkin has truly shown a lot of people how you can get a variety of voters here in Virginia. We started the We the Parents movement, and Glenn was part of that. And again, reaching across all political stripes and sizes and what have you, and saying, hey, here are some real issues. You with me or not? And he won.
Yeah, and he was on fire. He was great. He had the crowd on its feet. I mean, it hooting and hollering. It was great. It was I was so glad I was there, right in the thick of it. It was wonderful.
Denise, what are some of the issues that have compelled? I mean, and there have to be some serious issues there to compel all these Democrats to switch over and vote for Christine Drazen, the Republican.
It's the big ones. It's crime. It's the economy. I don't think it came up last night in the debate, but with the CDC voting unanimously now to put the COVID vaccines onto the vaccination schedule for kids, if we elect, you know, Tina Kotek, you can bet your bottom dollar that's going to happen in Oregon. They're going to go for it. I mean, we've got some representatives out here that are just salivating, waiting to have that happen. So that's a huge consequence, and that's got a lot of parents up in arms and really keeping a close eye on that. The Democrats are campaigning on abortion. It doesn't even crack the top five out here for people. It is crime. It is education. It is the economy, period.
And, Jeff, I have to imagine with the CDC coming out and now wanting to mandate that the COVID vaccine be a part of childhood immunizations, again, this is going to bring parental rights back up into the picture.
No doubt about it, Todd. Parents are outraged, and parents are outraged because we've been told by the folks on the left, hey, just mind your own business and we'll raise your children. And here in Virginia, believe it or not, there was a piece of legislation and there wasn't a piece of legislation. Now it's coming back. The chief delegate for one of our members of Congress, a complete and total hypocrite by the name of Abigail Spamberger, her chief campaign delegate is a state delegate by the name of Elizabeth Guzman, she introduced a bill that would make it a felony for parents not to go along with a kid that said, yeah, I know you, I was born a boy, but I've decided to be a girl. Her bill would stick CPS on us, arrest us, and charge us with a felony.
Spam burger? Did you say spam burger like spam?
Well, not the good cheesy kind that you and I like, but nonetheless, a giant pile of imitation meat filler wrapped in a bunch of nonsense. Yes, a spam burger.
I see. Thank you for that vivid description, Jeff Katz. I think he's ready for Iron Chef on the Food Network today.
Yeah. Ooh, yum. Mm.
So, Denise, looking out on the left coast, what is the mood of the electorate? Are you guys expecting a big turnout in Oregon?
Oh, yes, definitely. Ballots went into the mail yesterday. I'm fully anticipating when I get home tonight my ballot will be there. You know, there's two schools. You know, do you vote early? Do you vote election day? I tend to be an election day voter. The momentum is really on the Drazen side. There's a lot of enthusiasm. People are ready to make a change, and I think you're going to see a lot of crossover. You know, but the registration numbers in Oregon favor the D's, but we've got a huge non-affiliated pool, and that's kind of the wild card in this. And so, you know, as we see the issues that we talked about a couple minutes ago really hitting people where they live, that's going to be the deciding factor. So, but I think Drazen can overcome those numbers. I mean, she's got a lot higher positives. Her base is super loyal, and again, I'm seeing a lot of D's, feminists, LGBTQ, individuals who are, the D message is not resonating. They want to be able to take care of their families and live a good life, and so they are really looking seriously and considering voting for Christine Drazen. So I'm optimistic.
Now, Jeff, we're anticipating an October surprise. A word came out yesterday that maybe, just maybe, an indictment of President Trump might be coming down the pike. Even if it does, I don't think that moves the needle for voters. Am I out of bounds here?
I don't think so, Todd. I think you're exactly where you need to be. I don't care if there are 10 indictments. Can I take them to the gas station and lower the price? Can I take them to the grocery store and pay less? Will I get a pay increase? I think the Democrats are really revealing for all of us this bizarre obsession they have with President Trump, and they're ignoring the issues. Denise pointed them out, man. It's inflation, it's crime. The United States of America has become a dangerous place, a seriously dangerous place, and I don't know, their obsession with Trump and abortion, I don't hear those issues discussed at any point in any of the PTA meetings or, you know, any of the clubs I belong to. I think they're completely off base.
All right. Well, guys, before we let you go, we have a big story brewing here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we could use your help. I know you guys have vast audiences on both sides of the coast, and we just need to get the word out here. This is from the Memphis Animal Shelter. They're trying to find a home for as many as 300 chickens. So, like, as in chickens. And apparently a lot of people showing up, they're happy to adopt a little kitty cat or a puppy dog. A chicken, not so much.
Have you ever had chickens? Kept them as...
They're very delicious, mostly fried.
Yeah. Are these regular or extra crispy they're trying to get rid of, Todd?
No, I haven't. So apparently, somebody just left these chickens.
300 of them.
300 chickens, and they're having a hard time finding.
Well, I have four girls right now, and they're good layers, and we love them very much. But they're not that bright.
Are we talking chickens?
Really not that cute.
We're talking chickens. Okay. I'm sorry. Jeff, are you still with us?
I am, but barely. I'm hanging on by a thread here.
So here's the deal. So $5 gets you a chicken, and I'm saying I could get that plus some waffle fries and an iced tea at Chick-fil-A, and I don't have to feed it.
I'm all in if they come with those peach milkshakes, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, that's a delicious. Do you guys have Chick-fil-A in Oregon, Denise?
We do. We just had one open up we're very close to the station, but the lines are crazy long, so I'm waiting for them to die down a little.
All right. Well, in the meantime, if the animal shelter throws in a pound of Martha White flour and some, you know, buttermilk, I'm good. Count me in. So Grace is going to have to pluck the chicken, though. That's I'm not doing the feathers. All right. We're about ready to break an FCC rule, so we better let you guys go. Denise Quinn, Jeff Katz, guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, my
all right,
friend.
Take care, everybody. All right. There you go. Grace, seriously, though, we got to get rid of these chickens. I mean...
You know, you mentioned me plucking the feathers. We could put those on feather boas for the drag queens in Ecuador.
Oh, well, that would be like a missionary project. It's like Operation Christmas Drag Queen. I don't know. It's terrible.
I don't want to know.
No, that's terrible. We just got put on somebody's prayer list. All right, we got to take a break here. We'll get to the phones when we come back. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
National sex education standards right now for K-3 say that gender ideology, that those children need to know by third grade that you can be a boy or a girl, neither or both. That is very concerning to our moms and to parents. There is no reason that a kindergarten teacher needs to teach that to five-year-olds. That is something families should be discussing. The policies in the state of Florida, and this is from her organization directly from when I was on the school board, they have put procedures and policies in place in the state of Florida that not only don't inform parents of these decisions being made about the safety of their children, they purposely deceive parents. This is very concerning to us, and this is one of the reasons that moms are so rallied behind this mission.
We want to educate citizens who are going to go out and be flourishing and thrive in a democracy that's multicultural.
But the onus of that lies with the parents. They're in control of the care and custody of their children. And my question to you is, what makes you think you know better than a parent about what should happen to a child when they have a life determining decision about whether they're going to make a decision about gender or anything else? You have to call before you give them a Tylenol, and you can't make a presumption that this child can't take this information home.
All right, that's Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil had a big debate with parents and educators. And he basically asked the educators, what makes you think you know better than mommy and daddy? But they do. They really do. And that's a big problem in this country, folks. So good for Dr. Phil for exposing a bit of that. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Doug in Illinois. Doug, what's on your mind?
Oh, you were talking with the last two guests there. It thought crossed my mind. I wonder if your old mayor Adams there in New York is going to provide culturally appropriate, of course, family-friendly Tent City drag queen story hours.
Oh, this is a terrific question, Doug. And again, for the entire cultural experience, I mean, it's Venezuela, but Ecuador. Yeah. Maybe there's an Ecuadorian in the bunch who's got a feather boa.
Yeah, well, he can get some training at U.S. expense.
That's a fair statement there, Doug. All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Doug from Illinois. Let's go to Pastor John in Kentucky. What say you, sir?
Hey, Todd, I've got a question for you, and I'm going to hang up and listen for your response. I got pen and paper in hand. This whole transgender thing, I remember back during the Obama administration, I think he was the Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, saying that the U.S. military will now allow transition surgery at the cost of the American taxpayer. I'd like to know, do you believe, is that when this whole thing started gaining momentum and we started going down that slippery slope? Hey, Todd, God bless you and God bless everybody there. We love you guys.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor John. No, that is true. And we need to do it. We will do a segment on that with politics right now. We're just around the clock. But yes, your tax dollars are going to be used to fund transgender surgeries in the U.S. military. No doubt about that. Real quick, this story from the Daily Wire, the San Francisco city leaders are facing controversy after they approved spending $1.7 million. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world are they building that would cost $1.7 million? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. It turns out that according to the Daily Wire, that San Francisco planned to build one public toilet in No Valley Town Square, and that toilet was going to cost $1.7 million. Now, many people were puzzled by this, and they didn't understand. We're not talking about one single bathroom with multiple toilets. We're talking about one toilet. One toilet here. So what are they doing? Pooping gold? Is that what they're pooping over in San Francisco, that it cost $1.7 million? Ladies and gentlemen, elections have consequences. All right, we got to get out of here. Congressman James Comer coming on the program tomorrow to bring us up to speed on Hunter Biden. We'll be getting into that. In the meantime, have a great day, America.